From Trailblaze Media, welcome to Anchored the Podcast. This week, we are doing That Week in Ridiculous Roadie Headlines minisode, where we dig up the past of our weird little ocean state and show you that literally nothing has changed. I'm Shay.
And I'm Elise, and I'm really frustrated with Shay's use of the word literally, but I did want to let you guys know that we come across a ton of historical headlines that don't make it to the main podcast, and these are our top three from August in the cool 1920s and 30s. So the first article we have is the gas company won't stop snooping on Providence distillers. Freeman sees no reason for firm squealing on its customers. It was originally printed in the Projo August 20th in 1930. So just a little background that some might need. The prohibition was longer than we thought it was first. It actually ran from 1920 to 1933.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was a little surprised by that. For some reason, I only thought it was like 5 or 6 years. We're like, let's try and make this stick.
Yeah. I thought it was like less than a decade.
Nope. 13 years wow. old. Yeah.
That's nice aged whiskey right there.
Yeah. Start legal the in some states. Yeah. That was gross. I don't ever want to repeat that again. But anyway, I would say if I had to bring this single article down to a synopsis.
Sure.
I would say, well, well, well. If it's not the Fourth Amendment coming to bite the government in the ass again.
Well, well, well.
Yep. So it's 1920. We're right in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. Some people are thriving under prohibition, okay? There's speakeasies, there's moonshines, there's guys who were absolutely nobody and just like high school football stars that had nothing else to do, and they became prohibition cops.
Attendants?
Yeah, attendants, if
squealers.
You will. Squealers? Yeah, I would call them full-on rat finks who toddle on their neighbors and their loved ones.
Jerks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jerks. So good old boy, Frederick C. Freeman, who's president of the Providence Gas Company.
Freddie.
Yep. He ain't no snitch. Freeman is one of us, a man of the people, a.k.a. White Weebe from The Wire. I think that's trademarked, by the way. Anyway, basically, as you could assume, the United States government and the state police are having a tough ass time trying to get to the bottom of the prohibition barrel.
Tough ass. No. Oh, get into the. Oh, yep, yep, got it.
Yep,
pun. Almost went right over my head.
It was a pun. So they attempted to enlist the companies to snitch out their clients who may have evidence of stills in their dwellings. And so Providence Gas Company, you have to go in. It's got the meter reader guy. The meter reader and the repair people and things like that. So they attempted to ask nicely per the government. That's what they would say. But Freeman wasn't having it. He said, make me, which legally translates to, I will only help you if the court orders me to. But I'm not going to assume that Freeman was one of those undercover, like, constitutional scholars that the internet is totally rampant with today. So anyway, the government politely asked again, and Freeman responded, the Providence Gas Company sells its product in much the same manner as a storekeeper sells sugar, corn, or molasses, and other foodstuffs to individuals. A customer may use this gas for heating, or cooking, or other domestic purposes. So you think he ended there?
I'm going to guess no, because you seem like you have more to say.
Yep. So he doubled down on his snark by adding that, yes, some people might even use it to kill themselves. But if that gentleman were to use it for the illicit manufacture of liquor, that is his business. Mm-hmm. And it's the business of law enforcement authorities and certainly no business of the gas company.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If they want to get weird with it on their own time, with their own gas.
Yeah. He was basically, that's on y'all. That ain't mm-hmm. on me. So this whole mess came from the first assistant U.S. attorney, Ed McElroy, threatening the Blackstone Valley Gas and Electric Company for not complying, saying that they'd use the full power of the federal grand jury unless they changed their tune and provided information on a very specific address in Central Falls, which I will protect those people's identity and not give it away right now. So. Very Freeman nice stated that while his company hadn't been approached yet, he wanted to preemptively let his views be known, and so that the ethics of this public service company and its relations with its customers will never come into violation, a.k.a. y'all do what you want at your company. That's not what we do over here.
Not here.
Yep.
And we're so, a fun office.
I'm the fun mom. So Freeman went on to stir the moonshine pot. I got a lot of puns here, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, why doesn't, like, the Prohibition Department just go after storekeepers and find out whom they are selling large quantities of, like, sugar, corn, and molasses to? I think that those are, like, I don't know, the principal things to use to manufacture liquor. But I doubt the agents would be given the information. So I don't really understand that they would be entitled to it in the first place.
Like, I just don't know, like, what's going on. Yep. Why me?
Yep. And so then the government went on to say, like always, if you don't comply, we'll use the legal system and force you to provide the information. So, according to Deputy Prohibition Administrator John Morrill, who says at least 3/4 of all of the moonshine made in Rhode Island is from Central Falls, Valley Falls, Pawtucket, North Providence, and Cumberland. Hashtag, hey, Blackstone Valley.
What's that? I really like that accent.
Oh, my drive on a dime, lady? Thanks. citing that they have a particularly difficult time getting information from these gas companies and electrical companies in the area. Like, I don't know why nobody trusts the government with all this information.
Oh, that's so weird.
So, my favorite part about the article, or maybe it's not my favorite part, but the thing that, like, where they, I think it's a journalist term where you bury the lead.
Sure.
Here. Is that in 1927, the president of the Blackstone Valley Gas and Electric Company issued an order for 120 meter readers and repairman in the company to sniff out the presence of stills in private homes and buildings and present them to his office directly. So, it wouldn't surprise any of us to find out that this had backfired, and a storm of protests all over the country and all over the New England area, and there was even a presentation to the congressional, then there was, sorry, excuse me, there was even a freaking congressional resolution against the enrollment of meter readers as government informers. Like, even the government was like, no, we're not going to hire these guys who have other jobs to be, like, snitches. So this order was almost immediately revoked, and the president of the company said, well, I mean, like, I was under the impression that I was ordered to report all these violations to and by U.S. Attorney John S. Murdoch, who then said, what? Absolutely not. I think that, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I think recently we sent him, like, a jury summons, and so, like, maybe he just got his paperwork confused.
Just got lost in the mail.
No big deal. NBD.
It's like, again, with the parking tickets, it's like when you're like, oh, it flew off in the wind. I don't know where it went.
Sort of like that, except for now you can check online. And so, like, your ignorance of the law does not excuse you from such, and you're still on the hook for those tickets. Or at least that's what Judge Caprio keeps telling me. So, and that's what they told Kevin Gates.
That's good to know so that I can pay my ticket.
Yeah, you should pay
tickets.
And I also like, if you thought you just had one and you sign into the little thing, it's like, oh, no, baby girl, you had two other ones you forgot to pay a couple months ago. Ooh. And I was like, oh, thanks. You guys should just email me at this point.
How nice of you to remind me.
So, Shay.
Well, okay, so speaking of bearing the lead, my headline, it's pretty explicit. It reads exactly what it is what it is. So, Elise.
Yep.
Listen to this headline. Nurse, comma, who admitted 31 murders, comma, dies at 84 in Taunton Hospital.
It's a beautiful story about a lady. Aging gracefully.
Beginning to end. So what jumps out, this headline, what jumps out to you?
Who admitted to 31 murders. Why was she in the hospital? Was she not in prison?
This was the Taunton State Hospital.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, still.
Yeah. It's, okay. It was prison. Like, it was a, I'll get to this
okay,
this
good. Part.
But, all right. So, this headline, it reads a lot. There's two commas, quite a few nouns, I think. I don't really know nouns. Anyway.
People, place, thing, or idea.
Verb, it's what you do. Great commercial. Only reason I know what a verb is. Anyway, okay, so let's unpack this headline. Nurse, comma, who committed 31 murders, comma, dies at 84 in Taunton Hospital. For those of you who are familiar with this region, first of all, congratulations. Thank you for being here. We love it. But for those of you who are actually familiar with this region, you know that Taunton isn't actually Rhode Island. And while there has been municipalities that have switched hands between Mass and Rhode Island, over time, Taunton has always been solely belonging to our upstairs neighbor. You know, after those neighbors were kindly welcomed in by the folks that actually owned the apartment, but for some reason they decided that they liked the tap water there, the thriving house plants, and it was a growing part of the neighborhood, and they decided to stay.
But is that about Native Americans?
Yeah. You picked up on
what an analogy.
But those are the upstairs neighbors.
All right, got it.
Mass holes.
All right. Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. Started by Mary Dyer.
Hey.
That's all to say that our subject spent her whole life in Massachusetts.
Good.
But you stay there. But anyone who's also anyone in this area knows that she probably went on at least like one or two dates here in Rhode Island. if you're that close.
Yeah.
And even more so if you're queer and on queer lady Tinder, because that circle is so small. You see the same people. Like, after 1 year, you're like, oh, hey, how was your last breakup? So you have to expand this circle just a little bit. 100 miles? Give me 200.
The Subaru will make it.
Exactly. Put on those snow tires. So second, this headline reads like very, very casual for announcing the death of a woman who seemingly had a dedicated murder for each flavor at Baskin-Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one for each day of the month. Good for you. Good for you. Anyway, her name was Jane Taupin. She died at 84, and she startled the world in 1902 by calmly admitting that she had murdered 31 people. Many of those whose names she couldn't actually remember, so I don't know.
Couldn't even be bothered.
Couldn't even be bothered. But what people are forgetting is that was a sign of respect because she was a nurse.
Yeah.
She knows HIPAA.
Yeah.
You can't say their names.
They're not going to violate these people.
No. It counts if you say HIPAA after you say their name. It's a stipulation in the law. So the article does go on to disclose that Miss Taupin was a registered nurse who had been poisoning her patients for years.
Oof.
Is it bad that I'm not like particularly shocked that this happened?
Because you're really into like murder podcasts?
Or
you're just like really like excited because she's a woman and like anything as a feminist, virtually anything a woman does is powerful and inspiring.
Like, all right. I don't care what it is. I'll take
it. This is amazing.
It's a little murder podcasty, but this murderous Massachusetts Mrs., which is a title for the Magic Treehouse R-rated series. I'm not surprised. It doesn't shock me.
Yeah, if she wasn't so old, you'd probably get into her.
Hey. I do like. Oh, nice one, Elise.
Thank you. This is a family podcast.
So anyway. Girl got caught in 1901 when she messed with the wrong family.
I thought she was born in 1902.
No, she was born in the 18-somethings.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
So she got caught in 1901. She had murdered a few members of the Davis family from Bourne, Massachusetts.
Ooh.
And the article says that turned the police's attention to her career. So, like, her career, like, they say that as if being a mass murderer, like, comes with a 401k and dental.
Oh, like, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Like, one of those things.
Exactly.
Oh, just a master gardener.
Jeez. If you love it, yeah. If you love it, then money will come. Apparently, the police eventually as well.
Yep.
So she was arrested, and she was examined by experts a year later because, just like this ass, slow-paced government bureaucracy doesn't quit.
Jesus Christ. We all need a moment from that one.
Ooh, okay, where was I? They found out that she was mentally ill or, as they wrote, insane.
Which feels like a catch-all term in this conversation, but, like, that's different, so go ahead.
It does. It could be casual. It could be medical. It could be actual.
Well, because they, like, used to diagnose women with, like, hysteria for, like, wanting to be equal, have a bank account. Anyway, that's a different conversation.
That's wild.
Yep.
The vote. Anyway. So, yeah, they actually use that word several times over in the article because they were just, like, really trying to drive that point home that she was insane. Since this was somewhat of an obituary, the newspaper, of course, had to include a memorable anecdote or two because she was a person, after all.
Mm-hmm.
A little nuts, but a person. So she said to the journalist that visited her in jail, and I quote, "While I had given the names of 31 persons I killed, as a matter of fact, I killed many more whose names I cannot recall." Again, HIPAA. She was doing her job through and through till the end. I think it says a lot about a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like she could have stopped at like 12 and was
she
like,
nope. Yeah.
But 31.
She's like, I'm going to get to 31 and I would have done more too.
She was a nurse, so I'm assuming that she killed them while nursing?
Yeah. She poisoned them.
Oh, okay.
She like took them under her care as a caretaker.
All right.
Yeah. So she was ambitious. She wanted to do more, but she didn't. Her birthday was March 31st, so she was an Aries.
Oh, my God.
It was every single podcast. But she also didn't really cover her tracks, so she ended up getting caught. She did say that she might have killed upwards of 100 people, but at that point, they were just saying...
Is that an Aries trait?
Killing?
No. Losing track of the number of humans you've murdered.
You've met me.
You're an Aries?
I'm an Aries, yeah. I know, you had no idea.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, but I'm happy for you. Yep.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you.
Oh, I felt it in my bones. Anywho, the second anecdote that they have in the obituary, if you will, is for some years, she was kept in a straitjacket, so we know she wasn't gay.
Oh, my God.
But
that was horrible.
Zing. Happy Pride Month.
No. Keep going.
But of late years, she had been a quiet old lady who gave no trouble. Apparently, she frequently spoke of the murders, usually with a quote-unquote trace of pride in her workmanship and a touch of satisfaction.
Game recognized game.
Like, it's like an art project. She's like sitting in her rocking chair, like crocheting like the faces of her. Okay, I'm going to stop right there.
That's a visual. Go ahead.
I think I'll skip. Yeah, I think I'll end that part there. But perhaps my favorite part of this whole article is how that they end it. So they go on to say, they, who wrote the article, as a registered nurse, she traveled widely through the state. So as a traveler, you know, she was getting paid pretty well. But the good part is, they said, she was said to have had a mania for fine clothes.
She liked nice things.
She likes nice, but that's like saying
people, and she likes nice things.
Tomato, potato. That's like calling George Bush a painter.
He's not actually that good of a painter.
No.
I'm going to go on record and say that.
Yeah. We've definitely covered this before as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Episode one. Yeah. Taking it all the way back.
Ugh.
TBT.
Jeez. Paging Nurse Ratchet, which is a reference that you don't get at all, which is fine.
Right over my head.
We all can't be great. Anyway, speaking of misunderstood television characters who probably are just humans with personality disorders, I got a better one for you.
Sure. Hit me.
Whiskered Cowhand.
Sure.
Of Howard makes 66th court appearance. So the article first appeared August 15th, 1943. But Shay, why did you choose this article?
I was perusing through the newspaper, and this jumped out to me because I read it as Whiskered Cow, Hand of Howard.
So you thought it was like a spell?
Like a, like a title?
A whiskered cow and a hand of Howard makes a 66th court appearance. Like, it's just, okay.
In that
moment. Oh, here comes the whispered the whiskered cow again.
I like also thought, like, a whiskered cow?
Like, it's just got a mustache? I think it's just a catfish, by the way, with legs.
So go on. Tell me what this is all about.
So it's actually the tale similar to that of Frank Gallagher from Showtime's Shameless.
Mm.
Basically, 69-year-old, solid name, by the way, Dollard Hebert.
Dollard.
Dollard.
A Dollard of Daisy.
Oh, my God. Don't do that to this man. Anyway, he had a tenure position at Howard Campus, a.k.a. our then ACI, which is our, for the state, those not familiar with our prison system, the Adult Correctional Institute is all of the prisons in the state of Rhode Island. So it's now that campus. Previously, it was referred to as Howard. So he was there. He had a tenure position, like I said, which is just a rude kind of way of saying that he continuously held the same position every time he was in and out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a cowhand. So he helped out with the cattle, I think the steer and things like that. I don't know if it was a dairy farm. I tried to do a lot of research to find out about it, but they don't talk much about the cows.
Whiskered Cow, Hand of Howard?
No, the cows at Howard. Ah. So the journalist even jests about Dollard, quote unquote, vacationing at prison and listing the prison campus as his main mailing address and spending 14 of the past 30 years there at the time of writing. So this guy's 69 years old, mm-hmm. the past 30 of which he was in and out of prison for 14 of those years. That's a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think it's the system, to be honest with you.
Yeah, always has been.
Yep. Anyway, essentially, hard-headed Dollard was rightfully accused of stealing a piggy bank that had about 10 bucks in it. The article states that the piggy bank was for customers to contribute to the Veterans Cigarette Fund.
Okay.
I can't tell you what that how the punctuation was used. It was just veterans, like plural, a number mm-hmm. of veterans. And so I'm not sure if it was like there was some sort of fundraising for all veterans to have cigarettes if and when they go to this bar, or if it's like some larger like kind of cigarette 401k that they're uh-huh. hoping to
they're
give.
Trying to crowdfund yeah. for their vapes.
Yeah, but like crowdfund for like the veterans when they come home from this next like. Not yet to be mentioned war? Are they like World War One cigarette people? I don't really understand
Oh, this is 43, so this is...
Or is Dollard a veteran And like, it was just for him.
So you don't know if it was possessive or plural.
Oh, yeah.
Or plural possessive.
Yeah. There we go. So it's some weird cigarette fundraising. We don't know really what's going on, but Dollard said he was merely borrowing the piggy bank. The police report says that he basically picked up the piggy bank and put it under his coat. So.
Sounds like something my sister would have said
yep.
growing up.
Well, we all know that the key to stealing is merely confidence.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Yep. And so Dollar just didn't make the cut here.
Mm.
Or he missed his friends, like Brooks, that old guy in Shawshank Redemption who finally got out and then realized he had nothing and just killed himself.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was really
that
sad.
That was a movie that I saw.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not just embellishing.
Yeah. Well, that got really heavy. But Dollard was eventually sentenced to about 6 more months at Howard, not as punishment, per the judge, literally said this, but pity.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
So I hope he got what he wanted, which I can only assume was friendship.
I do have to ask, though, because the headline says whiskered.
So I think he was bearded.
Was that mentioned at all in the article?
No, not even a little bit. Never once was there a mention of his facial hair.
So we're also just assuming that he had
a crazy mustache.
Whiskered cow, hand of Howard.
The whiskered cow and the hand of Howard.
First of his name.
Yeah. It was like the Harry Potter book that didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Sorcerer's Stone. Whiskered cow, hand of Howard. Anyway, we hope that you enjoyed our week, that week in ridiculous headlines.
We hope that you enjoyed our second That Week in Ridiculous Headlines, and we hope you have at least 3 more useless stories that you can tell at parties. At least 3. Just remember the whiskered cow.
Or if more people start repeating this and it turns into some sort of spell and we, like, Beetlejuice a giant manatee.
Whiskered cow, whiskered cow, whiskered cow.
Actually, a manatee would be a whiskered cow.
You're not wrong. Whiskered cow of the
sea. Did we just invent manatees?
Yeah, I think we did.
Look at us.
Esther's like, I'm not into this today.
Nope.
Nope. Not today.
Well, that's it for us, folks. And don't forget to follow us at Anchored the Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and also subscribe to us on all or whatever podcast service you're listening to this episode.
I will first say I love the accent that you're dropping in this episode. But also, folks, if there is a part of Rhode Island history you'd like us to cover, send us a message on our socials, and we would love to hear from you about that. Send us just a random message. Say hi.
Slide into
our DMs. Yeah, the anchor. It's not mine. So I will not answer.
Yes, she will.
And with that, everybody, until next time, stay salty.